Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports today here on Sports Grid. Hopefully your waiver wire and fantasy football is off to a good start this morning. Regardless, we're going to cover that for you here on the show coming up. Davis has got some really good options for you to slide into your lineups this week. I know I need to make some moves as well. Of course, we got you covered in the NBA as well. Some DFS previews, no doubt. So we get ready for Thursday night football. Davis, it feels like during the football season, I love it so much here on Sports Grid because I know exactly what we're doing every single day. I know exactly what we're going to talk about virtually every single day. But like the second I take a breath, it's like we're already on to the next week. It's very crazy the way football season works. I can't believe we're almost halfway through, by the way. It's crazy.
It is. It is absolutely insane. I mean, just going through, obviously Wednesday morning is the waiver wire day if you're playing in a lot of these high stakes leagues. So it's kind of my time when I go through and just look at all my teams and be like, well, am I going to win the stupid $1 million this year? Am I, you know, what are we doing? And it is unbelievable to see like some of the guys you're already cutting. Just the insane amount of injuries we've had this year. Javonte Williams, Breece Hall, Rashad Penny. Like so many guys are just totally lost, kind of thinking about their value for next year. It's just once the season starts, it's such a sprint. You hardly have time to even take your breath.
We do. And we got a game tomorrow night to preview. We'll do that tomorrow here on the show, no doubt. All right. So let's get to our top stories here on the program. We'll start off with a little bit of a stunner, at least in the early part of the season in the NBA, as the Pelicans, they were 6.5-point underdogs. I guess it's not that big an upset, but they beat the Mavs without Ingram and without Zion yesterday. How about that one? Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark is suspended for 2 games for violating the personal conduct policy, so the Chiefs will be without him. The Marlins hired Skip Schumacher, Davis's guy in St. Louis, as manager. I broke that story yesterday. How about that? Texas A&M suspends 3 football players indefinitely to say that Jimbo's season with the Aggies this year, Davis, has been a disappointment, would be to potentially challenge Alabama for the national championship there. But let's start with the NBA. I guess that was one of the bigger upsets of the season. You obviously would know far more than me, but doing shows yesterday, you look at a team that's playing arguably without 2 of their best 3 players, maybe 3 of their best players, actually, now that I think about it. And what happened here? Dallas just... they couldn't beat him.
Well, Luka was not very good in this game. Look, Luka, Jokic, some of these, some of our Eastern European buddies, they show up not 100% in game shape, which, like, by the way, pretty common amongst NBA history. Like, a lot of guys who are really elite players who are under 30 years old don't really show up to the season in 100% shape. It's what it looks like is happening to Jokic, or to Jokic and Doncic right now. That probably was the biggest upset of the season, although the San Antonio Spurs are 3-1 and have beaten the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have aspirations, you know, to make the NBA Finals. So that is pretty shocking there. And basically normally the bench unit, no Zion Williamson, no Brandon Ingram for the New Orleans Pelicans. Jose Alvarado started out the game a perfect 6-for-6, had 13 points after 13 minutes. I mean, I think the Pelicans are really freaking good. Like, able to do this. And you just got to give a lot of credit, I think, to their head coach, Willie Green, just clearly has done a really good job motivating his guys. I mean, that's actually probably the hardest part of being an NBA coach these days, is getting your guys to play really hard on defense in the regular season. I mean, look at the Clippers right now. The Clippers are not good on defense at all. And where we came into the season, you and I both kind of thought, well, this team's probably the favorite to win the championship. And they've stunk, to be frank, outside of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And I think they'll get it figured out. But early season NBA results, we're going to have a lot of bizarro world stuff. Like, teams right now that are giving max effort are blowing away teams that are still kind of going through the motions.
Definitely so. Anything on the trade deadline percolating? I'm on social media like you. I'm seeing a lot of rumors. I saw, you know, obviously Kareem Hunt's name. I saw Jerry Judy's name popping up a bunch. It feels like Denver may be willing to punt Davis. I'm not sure, but it does feel like Gordon and Judy definitely on the block. Anyone else that you're seeing? Green Bay, I think, trying to attack weapons here too, right?
It was reported by multiple sources that Green Bay really wants a wide receiver, which I think, like, pretty obviously you should need a wide receiver. Randall Cobb out. Christian Watson is banged up. Alan Lazard has a shoulder injury. You know, they're playing guys, Samari Toure, undrafted free agent, Amari Rodgers, who, like, you know, God bless him, is just not an NFL wide receiver. It looks pretty brutal. I don't understand why Green Bay has just not already sent a third round pick for Chase Claypool. I guess the Steelers are kind of holding out for more there, but I would look for Elijah Moore. You know, he requested the trade and did not play last week. If that relationship looks like it's not repairable, I don't see why. The Chiefs should send a second round pick for Elijah Moore if he was available for that right now. So I would keep an eye on those two names, and then Brandon Cooks as well for the Texans.
Yeah. We got to mention Cam Akers, I think too. I would imagine if he hasn't played his last game with the Rams in, you know, via trade, they'll cut him. I think, I don't think he's playing anymore for them as well. Tomorrow, that'll be a fun show. By the way, George Kurtz will be in for me tomorrow along with Davis to cover the NFL trade deadline. But coming up next, we got the waiver wire. We're going to take a look this week at some quarterbacks to start, some running backs and receivers as well, some intriguing options as we creep toward the halfway point of the NFL season. And we're more than halfway done with the fantasy football season. How about that? We'll be right back here on Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Davis, let's hit the waiver wire this week in fantasy football. Several teams off, including one of your favorites. So naturally, going to have to fill in the blanks. I think I had my worst fantasy football league last week in years, I think. Last week I had, DeAndre Swift. He was hurt. He didn't play. I put in Williams. Gabe Davis was off. Cooper Kupp was off. It was just a disaster. I scored like under 75 points. So I got to get back on track this week, hopefully. Let's you and I go through this and take a look at some options here at quarterback. We'll start there. So Daniel Jones, naturally, if he's going to run the way he's running, as Davis mentioned earlier this week, he is on the map for QB1, especially with a bunch of players off. Do we feel that way about Justin Fields? Was it a one good game? I mean, it's a tough defense this week against Dallas. Marcus Mariota, huge range of outcomes here. You would think going against the Panthers is a great matchup for them, but I don't know. They just only run the ball. I don't know. And I got to tell you, Davis, as anti as I am Jameis Winston, and I think I'm winning that battle with you over the last 2 years, I got to believe that if it ever was going to happen for Jameis, Davis, this is the week. He has got to be taking a look and saying, wait a second, these guys played Andy Dalton over me for all these weeks with him just chucking interceptions left and right. I'm going back to old Jameis. I'm chucking it down the field. I mean, because if it doesn't happen this week for him, it never is. I mean, the Raiders can give up points defensively, obviously, too. So I may kick the tires on this one, but just for this week, because I want to see, is he going to go back to the way he was? By the way, only chance the Saints have to win is to allow that to happen. Reeling it in is not going to win games for them.
To be honest, I don't even think he's going to play. I think that the Saints have just sort of made the decision. I don't really get it. I mean, I think we have enough of a body of work from Andy Dalton to see that, one, he's not going to be able to do the kind of stuff out of structure that Jameis does. But in a weird way, I mean, Jameis has even been a better game manager than Andy Dalton in his career in the Saints. Like, obviously, he's been really poor this year with the back injury, but they were one of the better teams in football last year. They were 5-2 when Jameis got injured last season, and he was, I think he was 6th in the NFL in expected points added per play because he was doing a good job managing that offense. Clearly, what is ailing the Saints is just that Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry and even Chris Olave have not been at full health for the last 2 weeks. I think that you add those guys back in, things will start to look a little bit different. Daniel Jones, I think clearly the guy we're bidding on this week in terms of, you know, trying to replace Patrick Mahomes or other quarterback injuries. Also wanted to, I would rather, if Malik Willis is going to start this week for the Tennessee Titans against the Houston Texans, I would rank him as a top 10 fantasy quarterback. I would bid 15-ish% in order to acquire him. He's played 145 NFL. If any of you guys watched him in college, he doesn't really know what he's doing passing the ball yet. He's really young. I think he'll figure it out. But that dude can fly running the ball. And I don't hate Sam Ehlinger, by the way, either. I was just looking up his college stats. He ran for 33 rushing touchdowns as the quarterback for the Texas Longhorns. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what this whole thing is about that he's going to get loose in the pocket and all that. Like, I was trying to think, like, the games that I've watched at Texas, I don't recall this dude running at all. So I have no idea what they're talking about here in Indianapolis, but sad state of affairs for them, no doubt. All right, let's look at the running backs here. I thought Gus Edwards, I watched that game pretty carefully against the Giants. I thought he looked pretty good. And obviously with Dobbins out, he's got more of an opportunity to play and score. I would guess 60, 70 yards, maybe a touchdown. But is he out there on the waiver wire? I don't think so. Deontay Foreman at Atlanta, Chuba Hubbard also involved in that same game. And then at this point, I guess Latavius Murray is a play, and not only a play now, but Davis, if they do trade Gordon, then he would become a pretty good option. But option for what, I guess? 1 yard line, fall in. That seems to be his role at this point.
Yeah, I mean, would you even really start him if you knew he was getting 14 carries for the Broncos? Like, they've been so bad, I don't even really know if there's much of a point to that. Gus Edwards seems fine. The Carolina guys seem fine. Again, it's like, I just really would not want to start any of these guys. I don't really see any of them as a really big prize on the waiver wire. I think probably the better way to negotiate the waiver wire at running back this week is to pick up some of the guy behind the guys. So, for example, you know, we got moves for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I think a couple bucks on Snoop Connor or Jamichael Hasty seems like a better way to go than bidding 15, 20% on the Carolina guys. I think Ty Johnson is one of the best $1 waiver wire bids you're going to make all year long. I would imagine he is immediately going to be the third down and two-minute drill back for the New York Jets. That's been a pretty valuable role in that offense in the past. So I like those guys, specifically the Jaguars and the Jets guys, for cheaper as opposed to, I mean, like, to acquire any of Edwards, Foreman, Hubbard, or Murray, you're going to have to spend more than 20% in any league where they're still out there. And or like a number one waiver claim, like, would not spend it on those guys.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Now at wide receiver, some interesting options. We've talked a ton about Wandale Robinson of the Giants. And again, he played pretty well last week. I know he left the game with an injury. I thought it looked serious, but I guess he came back into the game at the end. I assume he's healthy up against Seattle. Their defense, as we talked about, has struggled. Dotson is expected to play against Indianapolis. Paris Campbell had that huge breakout last week. Is that sustainable against Washington? And then naturally Robbie Anderson, now with another week of practice time, he goes up against Minnesota. So, you know, Robinson may be the top guy actually to pick up this week. I don't see a ton of wide receiver options on the wire.
Yeah, Wandale, I mean, he had six targets on the Giants' first 10 passing plays last week. Then he got banged up a little bit, but the team is so thin that they just kept playing him when he was banged up. It limited his effectiveness a little bit. Had Jahan Dotson got dropped in any of your leagues, I think he makes a phenomenal add. I mean, McLaurin did finally have the good game last week, but, just has not eclipsed a 20% target share in any game this year. Dotson has looked really strong. Not nearly as interested in Paris Campbell with Sam Ehlinger starting. I think it'll be a lower volume offense. As I mentioned, Ehlinger ran for 2,000 yards and 33 touchdowns at Texas, so I think they're really going to transition to more of a lot of Jonathan Taylor quarterback power type stuff like that. So not really that interested. And then Robbie Anderson is probably the one guy on this list, though, who could actually evolve into someone who's like winning you weeks. Cause I would imagine he is going to fulfill the Hollywood Brown role, deeper down the field. Kyler pretty good at throwing those accurate balls outside the hashes. It's over the middle of the field where he struggles cause he is quite short. So I do really like picking up Robbie Anderson.
All right. And let's cap it off with the tight ends and Greg Dulcich. I mean, he could be very valuable in fantasy moving forward if they trade some of their players. We'll see what Denver decides to do. They're in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those games have been really good this season. Juwan Johnson scored a couple of times last week. He goes up against Vegas. I suppose if Waller is out again, I see him as questionable. I guess you can update us there. He plays against New Orleans, Foster Moreau. And then with Njoku out, Harrison Bryant becomes an option. He goes up against Cincinnati.
Yeah, tight end, as always, pretty thin out here. I mean, if Dulcich is still out there in your league, I don't really see an argument for him not being a top 12 tight end the rest of the way. Over 90% route participation in his first two games, 9 targets last week. With Brett Ripien playing quarterback, would immediately rank him as a starter. Harrison Bryant, probably number 2 behind him. David Njoku going to miss 2 to 5 weeks with the high ankle sprain. I would imagine he's pretty much going to be an every down player because the Browns offense is so reliant on having a tight end out there. And in tight end premium or deeper leagues, I would go like 15 to 20% on Bryant. And honestly would probably prefer Bryant over any of the running back pickups this week where I needed a tight end.
All right, fair enough. And, as far as defenses are concerned, I know that's another eye that we have on. I would have thought playing Tampa's defense last week, Davis, would have been the play against Carolina. I don't know what to think anymore about the Panthers.
I mean, the Buccaneers just stink. That's really all there is to it. So it's just hard to trust any of them. Really, Godwin and Evans are the only ones you'd start every single week.
All right, we'll be back with our preview of the NBA tonight. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Excited to go over the slate tonight as Davis and I are going to take a look at the daily fantasy prices. We got a couple of stars on the line tonight. I know Davis's old faithful Kevin Durant I see here, and of course Giannis, Jokic, Embiid. So is it a stars and scrubs kind of night, Davis? What does the slate look like for you?
Well, pretty much every time the San Antonio Spurs find themselves on a DFS slate, at least to start the year, while they're still kind of reconfiguring their rotation around, it does end up being a stars and scrubs slate because the daily fantasy sites have not very aggressively changed their Primo and Trey Jones as point guards than the market were expecting. Like, obviously in today's NBA, if your point guard is no good, you don't really have an offense because defenses are so good and they're just limiting those 3-point shots. So you really need a point guard to just create some space. And Primo and Trey Jones have been pretty good. We're also dealing with a fair few number of injuries tonight. We have multiple guys missing for the Nets. Markieff Morris and Seth Curry are not playing. Scottie Barnes remains highly questionable for Toronto, and Otto Porter is doubtful. So that leaves some space on the wing and in the front court for them. LaMelo Ball still out for Charlotte, and Terry Rozier, probably one of the more impactful injuries tonight. He is also questionable, which leaves the Charlotte Hornets really thin in the backcourt.
Yeah, they do. And by the way, as Davis mentioned, Spurs interesting tonight. Highest total on the board, Spurs, Timberwolves, 234.5 in terms of the betting option tonight. So naturally some players involved in that. And that's where we will start as we take a look at the pricing this evening. We'll start with DeJounte Murray, who obviously is very much in line for a big game tonight. He is priced at 9,800. Trae Young at 9,700. James Harden is 9,600. Philly Donovan Mitchell tonight is 9,500. Dame Lillard, who you see pictured there, is 94. And then Kyrie Irving is priced at 9,300 for the Brooklyn Nets. So stars are out tonight. Big slate tonight, too. So who are we going to pick from this, or are there some other options you like?
Yeah, we got 10 games. And I think probably the most interesting thing about this group of guys, I mean, one, Harden has been phenomenal to start the year, which you would not guess given the tenor of the conversation around the Philadelphia 76ers. But he's playing really well. Donovan Mitchell as well. But I think you're going to get a huge ownership discount on all of these guys, on Young, on Harden, on Mitchell, et cetera, because all of the most popular value plays are guards. Those Spurs guys I was just talking about, Primo, Trey Jones, Patrick Beverley is very cheap for his role, Jalen Green for Houston. I think we got a real tank off tonight between the Utah Jazz and the Houston Rockets. The Charlotte guys as well, you know, James Bouknight, who is close to the minimum salary. And then Dennis Smith Jr., who's been playing a ton of minutes for the Hornets with LaMelo and Rozier out. I would say probably of that group, my favorite is going to be Damian Lillard against Miami. I would expect him to be sub 5% owned. But the Trailblazers have been probably the biggest surprise to start the year of anyone. They started out the year 4-0. I mean... Are they going to finish ahead of the Lakers? Are they going to finish ahead of the Timberwolves, these teams who are all in on this season? I think it's very possible. So I do really like Lillard.
All right. So now let's move over to the forward pricing. And naturally, Giannis, who will qualify at center, obviously he will be the highest priced player tonight at over 11,000. We have Kevin Durant checking in at 10. We're going to talk a bunch later about the Lakers. LeBron James is priced at 9,900. His buddy AD is 9,200 as well. Karl Anthony Towns at 9,000. And then it always feels like DeMar DeRozan is a very solid play whenever he is playing. He is just under 9,000 tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do have one big injury to monitor for the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. And that's my guy. I guess not really my guy anymore. Russell Westbrook, he's listed as doubtful with a hamstring injury. I would imagine that what they are going to do is they're going to play LeBron James as the point guard. And they're going to use Lonnie Walker and Troy Brown Jr. as the wings with Russell Westbrook out of the lineup. Troy Brown Jr. is 3,400. He is a pretty strong play. Keldon Johnson, another one of the value options. Gordon Hayward, 6,500, another one of those value options. But I don't really see any way to not play LeBron James tonight at 9,900 against the Denver Nuggets. I mean, this is the highest three-point attempt rate of his career. I think pretty clearly LeBron is looking at this awful Lakers roster around him, you know, looking at Damian Jones and Kendrick Nunn, and he's like, what? No, I'm shooting the ball. This is my ball. This is my team. If we're going to lose, we're going to lose because I went for 39 instead of 47. I think that, for example, him being cheaper than Durant, him being significantly cheaper than Giannis, only $1,000 more than DeMar, I think. And by the way, if Anthony Davis also does not play, he's listed as questionable. Feels like Anthony Davis is listed as questionable. I mean, like every single slate of his entire life. I would play LeBron in every team that I made. I would project him for like, how many shots could he take in a game? 35? Like, he is the only guy on the whole team who can create his own shot if Anthony Davis doesn't play.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin fantasy or reality, but as most people know, if you follow the NBA through the first week, they're off to a tough start. All right, now let's go over to the Bucks. Back to Giannis here. Again, he qualifies at center, so you can place him in at 11,200. Denver is just chomping at the bit to get on the court against the Lakers tonight, so Jokic is priced at 10,900, Joel Embiid of the Sixers is 10,400. And then again, there's Anthony Davis, who we talked about, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Pascal Siakam is priced at 8,800. If I'm not mistaken, Siakam had like a monster game over the weekend. I was watching a little bit of that. He looked fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Pascal Siakam, honestly, probably one of the most important players in the NBA because the, you know, the Toronto Raptors are so good, but what do they, you know, what do they not have that a lot of the other contenders in the East have? What do they not have that the 76ers have, that the Nets have, that the Bucks have? They don't have a top five player. They don't have a top 10 player. I mean, maybe Scottie Barnes could be that guy, or maybe Pascal Siakam could be that guy who, you're right, he's already had a triple-double this year with 37, 12, and 11, has been, you know, very positive in terms of like plus-minus and stuff like that. I love getting him at this salary. I think that he's probably, I would say this will probably be like the most minutes he plays, maybe even during the regular season. We talked about this last night with the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors. Phoenix Suns end up blowing out the Warriors in that game, honestly, much to my surprise. But these regular season games between two elite teams in the same division, you only get four of them, and winning that tiebreaker is absolutely massive for seeding purposes in the playoffs. So I think this is a really important game for both the Raptors and the 76ers. Scottie Barnes might not play. If he doesn't play, we'll see a little bit of point Pascal, but also Giannis against the Nets. I mean, if the Nets are able to push the Bucks at all, I mean, they don't have anyone on this team who can defend Giannis. There's nothing anyone on that team can do. The Nets are the worst defense per 100 possessions in the NBA. They are giving up 125 points per 100 possessions. It is unspeakable how bad this team is on defense, and I think will likely end up be the reason that we never see the Kevin Durant Nets win an NBA championship. Which, doesn't that feel insane? You know, when Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and all those guys joined the Nets, and you got offered even money on over 0.5 championships, I think you would have taken the over, right? I mean, oh, yeah. I would say most people probably would have taken the over. I don't know if that would have been that smart of a wager, but it does feel insane that Kevin Durant, who is one of the, you know, the top five players certainly one of the three best players, I think, in the NBA, maybe a top 10 player of all time, and it just feels like his team totally can't win a championship. It's very bizarre. And Ben Simmons, by the way, yes, horrible. He's been so bad. Yeah. I mean, he can't pass, he can't shoot, he can't defend. He's not doing any of the things that he may even made him passable when he was a 76er.
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, Brooklyn's been through this before, right? With other Hall of Famers and Pierce and Garnett. And look, I mean, I guess in the end, Durant's going to be known as a better player and have a better career than Kevin Garnett. But Garnett is a Hall of Famer, one of the greats that I've ever seen play. I think they're at least on the same playing field as far as that is concerned. And it didn't work for them either in Brooklyn. But Davis, when they talked about, and Durant talked about wanting Nash out and wanting, I guess, Sean Marks, the GM, out, I hate that stuff. Like, I'm against the players running the show. I got to tell you right now, whoever made that decision, whoever the final made on Ben Simmons, what kind of scouting was done, Davis? Like, in professional sports, to think that this could potentially happen, where you're trading James Harden, disgruntled or not, thinking that you're getting a player back in return that can play. I mean, he looks like he can't play at all. I mean, who made this deal?
Well, I mean, I think to be fair, no one had seen him play. That really was the big issue. Is he has not played a competitive game since 2020. And in a theoretical sense, he does fix a lot of their problems. Like 2019, Ben Simmons, the Ben Simmons we remember, does actually fix a lot of the problems, helps them move the ball, gives them a defensively versatile big man. Because that, I mean, Simmons is basically playing center on defense for the Brooklyn Nets. The issue is, he's playing like 65%.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30 minutes. Stop it! They don't know your body. Only you do.
Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Of old Ben Simmons, and that's just not going to cut it, especially when the
start there for sure. Also, not a so incredible start for the Los Angeles Lakers. That's part of our fantasy or reality tonight, as they are pretty big underdogs. I mean, depending on how you feel about it, 5-point underdogs to Denver. That's what we will touch on next, and a whole lot more, so stay on the grid. More fantasy sports today coming up next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll close out with a little baseball news before fantasy or reality. The World Series begins Friday in Houston. Aaron Nola starts for Philly Game 1. Zach Wheeler starts for the Phillies Game 2, Davis. And we also learned today, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported that Adam Wainwright is going to come back for yet another season. Remember, 2 years ago, we thought that he was done. And here he is coming back for now a third consecutive season. Pujols, we do not expect to come back. And Yadier Molina has already said that he is not coming back for sure, but it looks like Wainwright back with the Cardinals again, and with another couple of good seasons, there's certainly the Hall of Fame, I think, is in now the front view mirror. I think there's a chance of that. 2 years ago, I would have not have said that Adam Wainwright was a Hall of Famer, but the stats are sort of piling up here.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is a real compiler. I mean, he has been very, very elite in his career before, you know, gotten a ton of Cy Young votes, actually even gotten some MVP votes. He was good this most recent season. What's weird is he had those wilderness years, right, where he was like really quite bad for it was basically like 2016 through 2019, and then I would guess that he either got a new pitching coach or the ball change helped him. Like, I don't know what the specifics would be, because it's kind of hard to teach an old dog new tricks. I guess not for Justin Verlander, right? Same thing for Verlander. Verlander went through his wilderness period where it looked like maybe he was going to be done, and then he's basically been the best pitcher in baseball for what, the last 2.5-ish years, something like that. Kind of, and well, who knows what the Astros are doing down there? I mean, the Astros do tend to fix pitchers, and you know, I don't know if they always do it by entirely legal means, but Wainwright, I would say for me, he's a Hall of Very Good guy, but, and this is very important when you remember Hall of Fame voting, these guys, these baseball writers, these BBWA guys, they love Adam Wainwright. Wainwright, always great with the media, always down to give an interview, always, you know, stick around to give you a quote, played on a team, St. Louis Cardinals, that I don't know what it is, but the normally Midwestern teams just kind of get eschewed, but the St. Louis Cardinals are like a national media favorite team. I think that plays into it. One team guy going to give you like a 5% boost when you go to the Hall of Fame, right? So I bet he is one of those guys, like fourth time on the ballot. I bet he gets through.
It feels right. Feels like not right away, but eventually. But who knows? He toured every stadium this offseason. That he went to this season and went above, like in the press boxes and everyone, because he thought that this was his last year. He wanted to make sure he did that. And here he is again, going to play another year for the Cardinals. We'll see him in Jupiter in February. All right, now it's time for some fantasy or reality. All I sort of have a feeling at some point this season, Davis and I are going to get a question from Brett. Is LeBron James the all-time best player on the all-time worst team? Because I think there's a chance of that happening. Now, listen, Ernie Banks, this goes before year of my time, Davis on the Cubs, played with 100 losses every year, won the MVP. I'm sure if we dug, we could find like unbelievable Hall of Famers playing on bad teams. But this is sort of getting to the point where it feels like we're headed in this direction. Davis, the Lakers are 0-3 with LeBron James on their team. LeBron James and they're 0-3. I mean, that is hard to believe. But it ain't so hard to believe to even think that maybe they could go 0-4 because they play against Denver tonight. And I know that the line isn't huge. It's Denver -5. Lakers are going to need to upset to pull this off. Fantasy reality, the Lakers will get their first win of the season tonight. If they don't, they're 0-4. Unbelievable.
You know, I think that more pain is probably coming for the Los Angeles Lakers, to be honest. Right now, they are 5.5-point dogs. Remember, this game is in Denver. Probably Utah and Denver, if you look at kind of like historical stuff, are like the two hardest places to play because of the altitude adjustment. And I would bet if I went and really dug into it, you know, had someone who's much smarter and better with data than me run it, I bet it's even harder earlier in the season when these guys are not in 100% great shape. However, there is a key narrative going on here, which is that Russell Westbrook seems like he is not going to play tonight. And I think just for early season storylines, for, you know, ESPN tomorrow morning, for our show tomorrow, I do think that probably the most perfect storyline is a blowout Lakers victory with Russell Westbrook, you know, sitting and stewing on the bench in street clothes. So I'm actually going to go against the line, and I'm going to say reality. The Lakers cover the 5.5-point spread. They win outright, and this mythical Russell Westbrook for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, the Lakers giving up 2 first-round picks in that deal. I'm going to say that trade gets done as well.
Yeah, I'm going to say fantasy. I mean, you would have to educate me in terms of the results here that I'm looking at. It seems like the Lakers have played mildly close in some games, but not won. Like, not to the point where I would say they have deserved to win, but they have played close enough to maybe make this a game. And the line sort of tells you that even though Denver's probably much better than the Lakers overall, that the Lakers are kind of due, but I'm just going to fight that feeling. Maybe they cover, but I got the Lakers going 0-4, and I don't know. Again, is this the worst? Is this the best player of all time on one of the worst teams? There's a chance of it. They have Anthony Davis too. Like, I don't get it. I don't know. How is this happening? I'm not really sure. Tough times for the Lakers, no doubt. Also tough times for the Green Bay Packers. Some of the strangest stuff has happened in Aaron Rodgers' career. So let me understand this correctly. Aaron Rodgers plays all these games about maybe retiring, not wanting to come back. This guy decides to come back, and the second he does, they ship out his only weapon. Like, this guy really came back and was okay with not having Adams. It was a huge, massive mistake by the Packers, and they didn't even get a great wide receiver. Now, I know they tried him Watson, but he's hurt. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe in a year or two, he'll be good. Romeo Doubs, they tried to make him a thing. Lazard, Cobb is out. I mean, the Packers are not winning the Super Bowl, but if they're going to finish anywhere near the top of the division, and I'm not talking about winning, Davis, I'm talking about finishing like 9-8 this season, they have got to make a trade at the deadline here for someone. Fantasy or reality, the Packers will make a trade for a wide receiver by tomorrow.
Yeah, I got reality. I mean, they don't really have any way to not do this. And even more so, like, yeah, the wide receivers have been bad, but now they're bad and they're hurt. Randall Cobb going to be out for multiple weeks with a lower body injury. Christian Watson has been banged up. Their number one wide receiver, the guy who's actually been good, Allen Lazard, he's expected to miss a couple weeks with a shoulder injury. They got Sammy Watkins back off of IR. Like, I don't really know how much that helps. Really, Romeo Doubs has been the only constant. And I will extend this. I think another part of this answer could be they trade for a receiving tight end. And I do think that there's a very natural fit here between the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos, who for whatever reason have decided they hated Albert Okwuegbunam, who was, I mean, very good his first 2 years in the NFL. I don't really understand why they soured on him so quickly, but it would not be surprising to see our guy Albert O traded from the Denver Broncos to the Green Bay Packers. So I got reality. They will trade for a pass catcher for sure.
Yeah, I think that this is a reality as well. I think that this is fair. You know, my timeline is filled with Gesicki being traded to Green Bay for a mid-round pick, Davis. And obviously, that would be a huge add for Rodgers to have him, because this is kind of what he's looking for. Somebody just catch the ball. The whole thing is just sort of odd through the years, and it's made no sense. The one thing that we could put to bed is that Rodgers is mad at the Packers for not giving him weapons, because he literally came back knowing Davante Adams was going to go. I never want to hear that ever again. He had his choice. He came back, and he knew, and he accepted it and was promoting his own guys. Give me a break, Rodgers. Don't tell me again that you're upset with the personnel and things that they do, because you had the choice. You came back, took the bag. And now you're sort of paying the price for it. But reality, Packers got to do the right thing here and get someone. I think somebody Davis mentioned, or I mentioned, or maybe somebody we haven't even talked about gets traded over to the Packers. All right, the star of the show once upon a time about 10 years ago, Frankie Muniz of the show Malcolm in the Middle, which was on Fox for a long time, very popular show, which also starred Bryan Cranston, who was a star at that time, but a much bigger star clearly when he went to do Breaking Bad, apparently is getting a reboot, Davis, and Muniz said this could happen as soon as next year. Fantasy or reality? You used to watch this show, Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, this is a reality. Now, I didn't watch it, you know, religiously or anything like that. I think I mostly watched it in syndication, you know, when it would be on in reruns and everything. But yeah, reality. I do remember it. It was kind of one of the. It actually was like a semi-groundbreaking show for the 90s in the context that it was like actually about a middle-class family who couldn't afford, you know, it like they had money problems. You know, it's like if you look at a lot of the shows in television history, like, you know, about families, like very, very, very rarely would it be about a family who struggled for anything. You know, like The Simpsons famously, that was kind of the hook of The Simpsons for a while. And then, you know, they just became millionaires and they could do whatever the plot called for. So I always kind of enjoyed that. I thought the writing was pretty good. And of course, Bryan Cranston is like, I mean, if there was an Actors Hall of Fame that was hard to get in, he would definitely be in it. I mean, that guy is amazing in everything he has ever done forever.
Yeah, I was not on. Was this a Sunday night show, by the way, Davis, on Fox? I don't recall. Was this a Simpsons build around show?
I want to say it was like Fox's version of like must see TV. Like, I think maybe it was a Friday night show. I think that sounds right. I have to go back and look it up.
Yeah, I did not watch the show almost at all. I don't know why. Maybe I was in college. I can't really, you know, sort of going through the timeline here, trying to figure out where I was in life, but I definitely was aware of it. Obviously, I knew about Bryan Cranston at the time, which was what made his sort of conversion to Breaking Bad so shocking, and really amazing job by those directors there, Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould, to find him from this show and make him into Walter White. I think that was sort of incredible. But I guess the question is, Davis, is Cranston back on this show? Is that part of this deal here?
That is a good question. I mean, that's kind of hard. It's kind of hard for me to imagine him wanting to sign back up for this after he became, you know, such a great, you know, such a great, dramatic actor. But I also would imagine that it would hold kind of a softer place in his heart too. Brent's telling me in my ear, he's involved as writing the show, which I think is something that he got into in the latter seasons of Breaking Bad, where I believe he directed a couple episodes as well. I mean, what an insanely talented guy Bryan Cranston is.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, that'll do it for Fantasy Reality. Coming up next, it is the Sports Grid 60, and then we have the Early Line coming up next. I will be right back with you coming up at 2:00 Eastern for another edition of course, Newswire. So stay on the grid for that as we get you ready for Thursday Night Football, the NBA slate as well, no doubt. And then tomorrow's show at 11 a.m. Eastern, you get a special treat. I'm taking the show off tomorrow. George Kurtz will be in the house, and Davis and George will preview Thursday Night Football. I have got to get myself in a new vehicle, so that is what my mission is tomorrow. Got to get this figured out. Not enough hours in the day, so unfortunately, got to leave you for a day tomorrow, but you're in very good hands with Davis and George, and then I'll be back with you again on Friday. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, and we'll be back after these messages. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to NewsWire here on Sports Grid. A couple of good college football games tomorrow involving Utah and Washington State. Also, North Carolina State is in action in addition to the Amazon Prime game. Of course, we'll preview that tomorrow right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Let's get to Davis as we wrap it up. Let's see what's on his mind today. Here's his Sports Grid 60.
My Sports Grid 60 today, of course, has to center on these Russell Wilson reports that he was up on the team plane, working out, doing lunges, stretching while his teammates were trying to sleep. And I just like, you know, we lionize these athletes, we think of them, but at the end of the day, they are just people. So imagine being on a cross-continental flight, you're going over the ocean, you got to play a football game in 48 hours, you're really trying to get your rest in. And imagine your absolute dork of a quarterback doing lunges through the row while you are trying to get some shut eye so that you can get your body right to play football. I mean, these guys have to hate him. Like they just, and we heard this from Seattle, by the way. Seattle players were very honest about this. They all, like, they were like, we did not like that dude. You know, the defense hated him. Enough, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, no, it's self-awareness is coming into picture more with him. Marlins announced yesterday, too, that Skip Schumacher is their new manager. Skip only, retired a few years ago in Major League Baseball, and I can appreciate a first-time manager, and the reason why is because I have no idea what to expect, and I think that that is fun. I'm all about these younger guys getting gigs just to see who the next great manager is going to be in Major League Baseball. I really don't know if Skip Schumacher is going to be the guy. I'm excited to see it. Sort of reminds me a little bit of like when Kevin Cash got his first opportunity to manage the Rays. Now, again, let me not throw that on to think that he's going to be, a World Series appearance manager immediately, but I'm with it. I'm fine with it, and can't wait to see it. That'll do it for our show. Thanks to LTN, our graphic department, for our producer, Brett Levy, my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. We will see you tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern. Have a great day, everybody.